Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Before I jump into this week's episode of Sup, I have a few things I want to go over. First and foremost, to all my now 625 patrons on Patreon, thank you so much for your support of this podcast. I say it every week and I mean it every week. You guys are the reason that I get to do this project, and you guys are the reason that I'm going to be recapping season one coming soon for a patron-only season of Sex Unique Podcast. And I'm in like an eternal gratitude mode for you guys giving me the gift of being able to make so much content about Vanderpump Rules. Like, it's a dream come true. And I really owe a lot of it to you guys. So love you all. I cherish your support, and stay tuned for more info in regards to the season one recap. If you want to join this wild journey of mine and help support Sex Unique Podcast, you can visit www.patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find all the information you need to become a supporter. Order. Get it? There are great reward tiers based on how much money you want to pledge. I urge you to check it out. There are a lot of different ways to get involved and support the pod. So think about becoming a patron if this podcast has made you lol or gives you joy. For as little as $1 per episode, you'll have access to weekly bonus episodes. There's other content at other tiers that you can have access to, but $1 an episode gets you in. And gets you access to the season one recap that's coming soon. So check it out, www.patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast. I also just want to take a quick moment and shout out one of my sexy unique listeners named Katie, and not Katie Maloney, but a different Katie, who it's been brought to my attention has just been diagnosed with breast cancer and is about to start her treatment journey. And I don't know a lot of the details, but I'm sure that any case of cancer is a major troll. And Katie, I want you to know that I'm sending you really good vibes. And from what I gather, it seems like you're surrounded by a lot of lawler friends who really care about you. And I hope that you stay strong and that you keep your head up. I'm just sending you love and light and wishing you a speedy recovery. And now, without further ado, I give you the Sexy Unique Podcast. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Then we go with a friend, you'll be both win.
Hey, Khaleesi's. I have a very exciting guest tonight that I'm happy to welcome into my home to law with me about tonight's episode of Vanderpump Rules. It's Ben Mandelker from Watch What Crappens. I almost said Watch What Happens.
That's okay. Listen, it's a common mistake. Hi. So excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here.
This is like a thrill to be here in the middle of this dynamic season of Vanderpump Rules.
It's finally all happening for us. I feel like this is a long time coming.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it's like,
and I'm glad
come
it's
to fruition.
Yeah. In this season of all seasons.
Yeah. This fiery season.
Yeah.
Of Vando.
It's Vando. Yeah. V Pumps has been just so good. It really has been. I mean,
it's been truly, it's back. Like, it now makes me realize how the past two seasons were kind of like a dip. And then, because this one's just so rich.
Yeah, this one, I will say that Vanderpump Rules has never had a bad season.
No, there's never been a bad season.
True. They just have either amazing, excellent, iconic seasons or like very good, really awesome seasons.
Yeah.
You know?
Like they start to make stuff look boring by comparison. Yeah. Like they make their own actions look boring by comparison, which is a hard thing to do.
Yeah. But this season, I feel like this season is up there with seasons one and two, which
absolutely.
Just in their own tier. Mm-hmm. This season, I think, is just phenomenal. And it makes me look back to those sort of like almost forgettable seasons, at least for Vanderpump Rules, where like Kristen had to ship in a random girl from Florida to spice things up for half an episode, you mm-hmm. know? It's like, we've come so far.
We've come so far.
Yeah.
But Kristen's still flying people in, using her frequent flyer miles, putting them to good use. But like, I'm really into like, I feel like the dynamics of the show are like cementing themselves in such a way that now I could just watch this show forever.
Yeah.
I need it to last for like 20 more seasons.
And I think it will. I think it will because it's just that good. I feel like in a weird way, maybe when Stassi left the show was sort of like lost at sea for a little bit, but then she came back and it still was like, but it's weird because she's not back, whatever.
Yeah.
And now, like you said, everyone is finally sort of like recovering from that, and then Lala sort of did that too, and now everyone's just like back,
we're locked
and
in
ready to play,
yeah, locked, you know? And loaded, we're all committed, we're like, this is what we're doing with our lives,
yeah, and they're like, you know what, as to make up for the past few seasons of like a little bit of weird castness, let's accuse everyone of cheating, not just one or two, like everyone, and have fun with it.
Go down the line. Because is Kristen next? Is she like the next person to be accused? Did she and James like potentially hook up? I feel like someone was saying
it. Seems like that's what the trailer is suggesting, that she and James may have done something. Because she's the one who's gotten scot-free out of this.
Yeah.
I guess Tom and Ariana also have gotten out of it okay this season in terms of the cheating scandals. Mm-hmm. But Kristen seems like she's due.
Yeah, Kristen is due. I'm ready for more Dodie storylines.
I am too.
I miss her.
She's almost a little forgotten in this amazing season. She's almost an afterthought.
Being left in the dust in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you know what I heard recently, which I loved for her, which is someone told me that Carter is actually like a very legitimate photographer who makes a lot of money.
Really?
Yeah, which I didn't understand that was what the deal was. But then when they told me that, I was like, God damn it. Good for her. Good for Kristen.
I still don't really know what she does.
Me either.
Like she had a t-shirt line at some point.
Like she just does the show and then is a vegaholic.
Yeah. She's sort of like ephemeral. Like, yeah. I don't know. She has become more and more of a mystery. She's been building a mystery, as Sarah McLachlan would say.
Yes. In the words of Sarah herself. Yeah. I don't know. Because like Kristen, she's not. I feel like I don't see her around town that much. Whereas other people, it's like you could run into them or like know their whereabouts.
Yes.
And she's elusive.
She's very elusive. Like I can't tell, is she West Side or is she East Side?
She's actually lives like 10-minute walk away from here. They showed her and Carter's apartment building, and I was like, oh my God, that's that place. And I like go by it every day.
That is actually one of the true joys of watching Vanderpump Rules here and living here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Is whenever they cut in between apartments or whatever, there's invariably a moment where I pause the DVR and then do like a frame by frame, like back up to see if I can figure out the streets or wherever, where they are. I think I have narrowed down, like that, the Jax, Schwartz, Katie, Brittany complex.
Oh yeah.
I think it looks like, if I can remember correctly, it looks like it's just south of the Sunset Strip, right?
It's actually just north of Melrose.
Oh my goodness. Why did it look that? That makes so much.
Those buildings look like the.
That makes sense. You know why? I just realized now, because I remember looking the way the street sort of started to turn. For some reason, I thought that was where it started to turn on Sunset, and I was like, "It doesn't look quite right." But now,
Now
I get it.
Yeah, I like one of the listeners had reached out to me and was like, "Will you curate a list of things for me and my friends to do when we come into LA?" And I need you to like write out like a Vanderpump Rules tour, which I happily said I will do that.
Yes.
So I just need to put it out there that I know I need to put my knowledge of like all the locations in the show to good use. So I'm available for curating personalized tours.
I would like to go on that tour with you, please. Like, could we just like get like a van?
We need to get a van and then go visit all the iconic places.
Yeah, like Mixology 101.
Mixology 101. We build in like lunch times and then like happy hour times. And then by the end, everyone's just like totally blackout. And then we drop them off at the hotel.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really strong thing. You know, what's funny is about 10 years ago, like the predecessor of Vanderpump Rules, obviously, is The Hills, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And back...
Our pre-recession Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, exactly. Even the same executive producer. I don't know if you noticed that.
Wait, really?
Bill Langworthy was one of the... I think he was one of the executive producers of The Hills. And he's the executive producer of Vanderpump Rules. So back in The Hills heyday, I was writing recaps of it a lot on a blog I used to have called TVgasm. And... The cast and the crew would like read the recaps, and they would, you know, they really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I found out that basically they'd start to change the B-roll footage of their apartments because we kept on saying in the recaps, because my friend would also recap too. I kept on mentioning things like, oh, there they are again at the Palazzo, you know, across from the Grove. I kept on like name checking where they were living. And people were like, then it became a security risk.
Yeah.
Because people were going to them. And so the producers had to like put in different, make it look like they
lived somewhere
else.
They said Hillside Villas. I remember because when I was watching The Hills, when I still lived in Oklahoma City, I was like trying desperately to figure out where they lived. And I kept Googling Hillside Villas and trying to figure it out. And I could not find anything.
Yeah. They were at the Palazzo. And so what?
Which is now where Sheena lives.
Really?
Yeah.
Full circle. Well, the whole reason why this is important is because I love the fact that the producers for Vanderpump Rules don't even try to change the locations. No. Like The Hills is like, oh, we got to protect our stars. So they're like, here's
No, yeah, they're their like, apartment. They literally put them on blast. Like, if you live in West Hollywood, you know, you just know you can pinpoint wherever they live and where they go out to eat and stuff.
That's so funny. And what, didn't Sheena appear on The Hills at one point? Am I mistaken? Like in the background?
She might have been in the background. Sandoval was definitely in like a scene of The Hills.
But
Sheena,
yes.
I think, now because, my because memory is Sheena, being jogged. Just had a
because Sheena's friends with Stacey the bartender, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Stacey the bartender appeared on Vanderpump Rules during one of those.
Oh my God,
Season, not darker, but like the forgotten seasons.
Yeah. The lost seasons.
Some of the probably somewhere in between season 3 or season 4.
Yeah.
Stacey the bartender was like, come over and like help set up a party.
Yeah, she popped in.
She was in like the Veil era, I think. Wasn't that Veil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Veil is the forgotten era.
Veil is the forgotten era.
Veil is like...
Where is Veil now?
I maybe she's actually in Veil. But Veil... you know what Veil is? Veil is like Saturday Night Live between 1980 and 84. It's like there was a weird period of time. It was like Eddie Murphy was on that show, but like Billy Crystal and also like Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And you're like, whoa.
That's a random assortment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Veil was like, she
her presence on the show was really weird to me because it was like she was obviously kind of chicker than everyone else. Right. Like she'd been plucked from somewhere and then
soap
popped.
Operas, right? Wasn't yeah. she doing soap operas?
But I think, according to a friend of mine who was dating her prior to her being on Vanderpump Rules, he was with her when she like was getting the casting calls to come and audition for the show and then got an offer to be on the show. And then she was like, well, the money's good, so I'm not going to turn it down. But I think she was like, she purposefully cast.
And she wasn't willing to throw herself into it the way someone like a Lala
No. I mean, I think Vale took one look at everyone and was like, what the fuck have I done? Like, she showed up to set that day and was like, this was not what I thought it would be.
Yeah, exactly.
I want, like, Vale's, like, memoir tell-all of, like, what exactly was going through her head when she realized what she'd gotten herself into.
Yeah, I think I want to hear Vale's perspective. I actually would like if Vale just, like, showed up back on the show one day, because I always love a comeback.
I love a comeback.
And if Vale showed up, because right now, the Sir Hostess booth stand situation is very overcrowded with personalities. You have Lala, now you have Billie Lee.
Yeah.
Gigi, I think, is still probably floating around there somewhere.
Yeah, Gigi's around. And I need Gigi to make a comeback.
Gigi needs to make a comeback. Yeah. I mean, she never really like was an out-of-the-box hit, but she was solid.
She brought a lot. She brought a good amount of drama with her that I respected, and her name is just the letter G and the letter G, which I also really liked.
That's really her name. But also, Lauren is back, right? Lauren like made her return this season.
Lauren
is the one in the Gay Pride episode, I think two seasons ago, where it was Lala's first season, and Lauren and Lala, I believe her name is Lauren. Lauren and Lala were like besties at the podium, but then it turns out that Lauren slept with James.
Lauren
slept
with James and did the bite marks and the scratch.
Yeah,
okay.
And she was dating the hot bartender. Who Anthony, who did not want to be on the show.
Oh my God. Who took his mic pack off.
Took his mic pack off.
Or like said, get away from me. Like,
has since moved to New York.
Oh my God.
The reason why I know that is.
You did a deep cut with Lauren and Anthony.
Well, I did do a deep cut because for several reasons. I hope your listeners are appreciating this.
They
right
are.
Now. Okay.
They're definitely appreciating
this. This is the deep
this.
Cut. The reason why I know he moved to New York is because I was watching an episode of Real Housewives of New York City, I believe this past season. And yes, because Tinsley was on a date and she was acting crazy. So I think Carol pulled her to the side. I was like, you got to calm down. And then like on the side I was like, there's Anthony, the bartender.
No.
And the reason why I especially remembered him is because he used to go jogging shirtless in my neighborhood. And he was so, so gorgeous.
Oh my God.
So once you see that, you see him anywhere. You know?
He's burned into your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
What restaurant was he working at in New York?
That is where my knowledge ends.
It ends. The mystery.
The mystery.
Your knowledge ends and the mystery begins.
Yeah. I can only take you so far. It's like the seance.
You
like
can't do all the work here, right?
Like there's a trickle of blood coming down my nose. Like I've woken from my trance and I've like already gone through the upside down and I'm back and I can only tell you so much. I need like a salt bath now.
I love that. Yeah, you got to really dry out after that, after accessing all that information.
I did. I tapped into something very
you
deep.
You did tap into something
powerful.
Deep. I was like, let's go here. Where is Ant? Like, what is Anthony telling you? What is he saying to you?
Yeah. Going a deep dive in all the ancillary forgotten characters of Vanderpump Rules.
Let's get into this episode. First and foremost, okay, well, I guess I should probably talk about Watch What Happens Live because I need to just like say what happened.
Do it.
So Ryan and I got to go backstage and be like in the audience of Watch What Happens Live while Stassi and Katie were also, Katie was in the audience and then Stassi was on the show, but they cut to Katie a bunch of times.
Right.
So as you can imagine, it was like a bit of a unclear, like I was a little bit nervous because I, in case the listeners don't know, had a bit of bad blood between me and Stassi and Katie.
Yeah.
But it actually like,
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at the fact of poor Katie relegated to a cutaway. Like,
just like slowly got to for the Kevin Lee apology, like that whole situation, which is like a no for me, dog. But like just even having to like deal with that in general is a traumatic thing. Like I would never want my storyline anywhere to be like someone called me fat to my face and then was like apologizing for calling me fat.
Okay, just, and then it's like, don't feel bad about it. Remember you fell through a plate glass window.
When you first came into my life, you were so beautiful. You'd just fallen through a plate glass window.
Do you remember when you fell through the plate glass window and your face looked terrible? And I said, get that fixed. And you said, no, this is me. I didn't support the decision, but you did it anyway. And that was really exciting for you.
Lisa, like, still is mad that she didn't fix her face with plastic surgery. She's, like, still salty about the scar.
Yeah.
She's like, and you could always still fix it if you wanted to, but I think your beauty shines regardless. Yeah. But yeah, so they were, like, cutting to Katie. But so Ryan and I got into the green room, and then I'm friends with Jake. So he was walking in with the girls, like, they all arrived at the same time.
Yeah.
And so we said hi, and it was, like, established that, like, I was there and I came to play, honey. Mm-hmm. And then a few minutes goes by, and then Katie came into the green room where Ryan and I were sitting, and she was like, hey, can I just, like, say hi? And I was like, of course you can say hi. And, like, no, fuck off and die. But we had, like, a kind of, like, a sweet moment and hugged, and just, like, it felt nice.
Yeah.
I was really stoned, so then it just felt really meaningful in my, like, stoned moment.
Did she have a bouquet for you?
She did not have a bouquet. She didn't give me a gift, which now that you mention it, now I'm mad all over again. Yeah, now the beef continues.
I'm here to reopen the wounds.
Yeah, she should have given me, like, a huge bouquet of flowers. Yeah, but no, we just had, like, a sweet hug, and then I was, like, very high and feeling, like, girl powery. Yeah. I was like, females, you know, we need to stick together. We can't be, like... It's more the guys on the show anyways, or the idiots.
The guys, yeah.
Yeah, and we need to, like, really come for them. And, like, I'm here for, like, a girl power moment.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Like, a beef, like a podcast beef. It's just, it's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it. I mean, I say that now, when I'm sure I probably have several quiet beefs with several podcasts.
But you know what? It's like, these podcasts, like, promote the show that they're on. It's, like, done from a place of, like, pure fandom. Absolutely. And obsession. So at the end of the day, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what I always say. Like, our show, like, we cover all the Bravo shows practically. And, like, it comes from a place of love. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we're promoting the heck out of these shows, because honestly, a lot of these shows don't get the promotion that they deserve on Bravo itself.
Yeah.
And so we feel like, you know, we are, like, saying, hey, people, you have to watch the show because it's really good, because they can't all be Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
But they are all certainly worthy of some discussion. We are promoters, and it's totally a place of love. And I always say that our podcast is, like, just trying to recapture what it's like to watch the show with your friends, which is what your podcast is like too. And the truth is, we're all saying it, we're all thinking it.
We're spreading awareness.
Yeah.
And creating causes.
Yeah. And, you know, there are actually, like, a lot of people who are stuck in situations where they aren't around people who watch the shows. So, or they have, like, boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever who don't watch it. And so they watch, but they don't have any outlet for all this stuff that they feel and think when they watch the shows. So they listen to our podcast, and it's like, yes, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
It's a friendly space.
It's a friendly space, Katie.
For the listeners. For the listeners. But I have to say, I really did. I have a lot of respect for Katie having the balls to, like, walk into, like, go just walk into that situation in the first place and be like, make the effort to be like, hey, you know, because I can't necessarily say I would do the same thing.
Well, she is a reality star, and she's used to walking into conflict.
She loves, like, a confrontation. Like, and she's always kind of been like that back when she was on Pump Podcast, like, coming over and just being like, hey. And it's like, okay, like, I really give props to someone that does that.
Yeah.
Because I'm truly the opposite.
I am the opposite. In fact, I saw Jackson Schwartz at a bar this weekend, and I stayed away because I was afraid. And because I mean, especially Jax, I actually feel like
Jax is too scary. Yeah,
he's actually a scary person.
I've randomly ended up on, like, treadmills and workout classes next to him, and, like, having to do, like, a full-blown workout, like, and I don't make my I like just hope that he ignores or doesn't notice or whatever. Even though I'm right there, I'm like, I get the sense that, like, if I didn't say anything, I'm safe, because he's probably not that perceptive of a human being.
Exactly.
But I'm not trying to, like, have a moment with
I do not want to have a moment. It's kind of funny. Did you Do you ever remember Jax from pre-Vanderpump Rules? Did you ever see him around?
Because I never saw him around. Really?
I saw him around. Because he's hot. Especially back in those days, in his model days, he was really hot. So you would notice him. And he went to my LA... Back in the day...
LA before, Fitness, West Hollywood?
This LA Fitness in Hollywood. Okay. They used to all... Jax would go there. I saw Katie and Kristen there and their like redheaded friend.
Jenna. Who's now a trainer on Instagram. Like, really? She's like, has like a personal training thing. And Katie and I were talking about that with like... Because she's like been working out with her, and she was talking about, I know that Lala does a lot of like workout Instagram videos with Jenna. And I was like, wow, Jenna's really come a long way, like rebranded herself from being the girl who slept with James and Kristen tracked it down via their Uber history.
Yes.
To now having a workout brand.
Yeah. Well, I always think about Jenna because when I was at the LA Fitness one time, Kristen was there with Jenna, maybe Katie, and T Diggs happened to be there. And all of a sudden, I remember looking up, and they had sort of like surrounded Tay Diggs, and he was like flirting with them, and Jenna was like the primary flirter.
Oh, love.
And
that saucy little redhead.
So saucy. And I had this weird sense of like possessiveness. Like, no, wait, that's my crush. Jenna. Stay away from Tay.
So you have beef with Jenna is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very she knows serious, what she did.
Very serious beef.
Yeah.
She did. I want to forgive her and I want to forget her.
I want to forget her. Yeah. And then we went out after the Watch What Happens Live show. We all went out together to Club Coming, which is like a piano bar.
Yeah. I saw this on Stassi's Insta story.
So you might hear me like laughing in the background. I don't think she like heavily featured me because I think she's still like really TBD on me, which is like fair enough. On her too.
Yeah.
But it was a fun time. It was like we had a fun time. You know what I mean? And it was nice to be like, oh, this was a funny thing that happened.
Yeah.
Even though it's just like bizarre and weird at the same time.
Listen, I mean, we've seen the show and they deal with far worse things than, you know, someone on a podcast was saying disparaging things about them.
That's true.
You know, they deal with like really, really shitty, stupid shit.
And they're like... They're like stars now. You know what I mean? I was like looking at them. They're very beautiful in person.
They
like
are.
Stunning skin. Like their makeup is good. The hair's amazing. And I'm like, you guys are stars. Like you really are.
Yeah, they really they are like celebrities.
They're celebrities. I was they're like, there are two celebrities in this bar. It's them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's
I was like, oh my God. Like they've like and I kind of had this moment too where I was like, wow, they really did it. Cause I feel like there was all when I first started watching this show and when I first started the podcast, it was like these like idiots, like they will never, they're not going to be where they ever want to be. But they weirdly did, like they hit the life jackpot in a lot of ways. And then last night was a true eye opening moment where I was like, the joke's on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on both of us. Although the joke's a little bit on them because
I mean, the joke will always be on them.
Yeah. The joke will always be because Katie's still a waitress there, you know. So it's like, and that's the beauty of the show is that no matter how famous they become, they still have to be like,
they're still like part of Vanderpump Rules.
They're still like,
life is a series of give and takes.
Yeah.
And they've been given a lot and they take a lot as well.
Yeah. But they've, I mean, they figured it out, you know?
They did.
The show's great. The show's brilliant.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my journey.
Well, that's great. I have FOMO. I've never been to Watch What Happens. And,
God. You have to like somehow get in there. Are going to go to New York for a tour soon,
We're going to New York next week. We have a show at the Bowery Ballroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, then there's no way that you shouldn't be on a Watch What Happens Live moment.
I'm
ready to start a cause called Justice for Crappens.
Justice for Crappens.
Yeah.
I secretly am afraid that Andy Cohen has taken offense to the fact that our podcast is called Watch What Crappens, you know, because Watch What Happens is his baby, and like, we're calling it Crappens, and, like, I'm afraid he's thinking... Like that we just are just like shitting on him. And it's like, no, we just like a good pun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. It's a great title because you fully understand exactly what you're getting into and you get the brand and the tone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe we can like, maybe we can pull some strings.
I feel like there's some strings that can be pulled. Yeah. I'm feeling a good vibe about this. Just like my psychic Anthony is kicking in.
I'm already like very excited about it. I'm like, oh, I'm going.
You're going. You're in.
I'm doing the secret to be there in the audience and just to be like, I'm here.
Yeah. I see it.
Yeah.
So on tonight's episode started off with a, oh my God, wait, I just had a note that I now have to go back again. Please. To the Watch What Happens Live of it all. You should watch the whatever their like bonus after show is, because someone called in and asked Stassi, they go, I have a question for you, why are you so racist?
Her favorite question.
Fully called her out, and then they put her on the spot and like kind of made her answer for herself, and she did like a fine, it was like a very diplomatic, like I feel like she's had enough media training and press training where she now like won't just stick her foot in her mouth immediately.
Yeah.
But it was a kind of like gratifying moment of just like awkwardness.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. That's fun. Well, I hope she improved her answer, because I really went in on her last week, because I thought her crying about being called a racist was like not the the response should be like, yeah, what I said was really like misinformed and ignorant, but I've learned now, and you know, it sucks that I said it and I'm embarrassed and I feel bad that I hurt people, but like, you know, but I know better now.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what life is all about.
It's so interesting that like, it makes so much sense to me that that's just what you would say in that situation.
Right.
Like, that would be a normal person's reaction, but she just like doesn't. It's like she's mad that she's more mad about getting caught or called out for something than actually being like,
yeah,
like horrified that she said it in the first place.
And unfortunately, I think that's kind of like symptomatic of like a lot of people, a lot of, especially a lot of like us white people.
Oh, totally. It's a total like entitled, ignorant white person.
Where it's like, I think a lot of people, especially people of color, I get the impression they're like, listen, we're just trying to like give you a note. Like, don't say that again. Don't. You're sounding ignorant right now. You're sheltered. Like, grow and learn from this.
Yeah.
But I think when people do that, they don't want to hear like, why? Like, you know, like I'm not a racist. Like, no. It's not
like
about
complaining.
What you are.
Yeah. It was interesting because we were like all sitting around the table and like there was a, Jake was like telling us about how he had like a very weird sexual experience with a ghost in New Orleans.
it happens.
And I was like, oh my God, you have like a Me Too ghost story.
Wow.
Like this is part of the movement that we haven't gotten into yet. Like,
yes.
And I feel like where there's one, there's many more.
Yeah.
And so we're all kind of laughing about that. And then Stassi's like, well, see, that's so funny, but I would get just totally in trouble for saying that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you would.
Yeah.
But
She would, only because she is,
because her
foot in her mouth. It's the context is everything, right?
She's like, I was like, you can't do it. You're screwed. You would get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like, it's happened.
That does suck.
Yeah.
You can't make it like, that would be, that's like a funny joke.
It is a funny joke. And then we had a moment where it was like, we had like this real talk thing where I was like, but you know what? Like, anything you've said or done, like, it's nothing you've done is like a death sentence. You know what I mean? Like, you're not like ruined. You're not like a horrible human being. Like, everyone makes mistakes, and you can bounce back from anything. If you truly want to like heal whatever problem it is and like do it, you can do it. Like, no one, I'm certainly not a person that's like, you're fucking done forever.
Yeah.
Cause I've said some really stupid things.
I think, you know, I mean, if Stassi had gone full Michael Richards on her podcast, that might have.
I don't think
that might have been hard to rebound from. But Stassi has actually proven herself to be quite Teflon-y. You know, she had the Black Lives not or the Oscars moment, Oscars So White moment. She had the Me Too moment. Mm-hmm. She had a recent Nazi flare
moment.
Up.
She's just checking off every possible.
Yeah,
like,
people get mad. People get so mad, and then it just like moves on. And you know, like last week, I was mad. I was like, gosh, I actually really love Stassi as a character on the show, because she's sort of like, to me, she's like kind of iconic on Vanderpump Rules.
She is. And like to see her navigating like the world just as like a stander, like I'm standing to the side and just like watching her. I'm like, she has this sort of star quality that's like, it's like just like a reality star quality that I'm like, I'm in awe of to some extent.
It's like Omarosa.
Because I'm like, I don't have that or relate to that like on a personal level, and I love to watch it. And I'm like, I can identify as
it,
you
there's
can.
There's like a skill to it. Yeah. And like, I'm like watching Celebrity Big Brother, and Omarosa's on that. And she's just kind of flawless at doing what she does. And you just can't help but just say like, gosh, I kind of have to root for Omarosa because she's just so good at it. She's so good at being a villain or pivoting and turning things on people. And Stassi is just good at that too. Because last week I was like, you know what, Stassi, you have to get your shit in order because you stop crying about being a racist. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I was like on my little soapbox. And then this week I'm like, oh my God, I'm loving her being like, it's my birthday.
I know.
It's like, she wins.
It's funny again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wins.
So. It's just like slippery.
Mm-hmm.
She slips into your good favor and slips right out of it.
Yeah, it's like she just becomes Queen Stassi again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
her behavior in tonight's episode was truly iconic. I think.
Well,
like she hit her stride again, and yeah. I was like, this is what I live for. Is like just messy, like those girls messy fighting. Like yeah. I love it.
I love, and she didn't even really do that much this episode. I thought this episode was gonna be a little more Stassi heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like she went to a prop house, she got her makeup done,
she ordered several severed heads. Yeah. She's like, two severed heads, one creature.
Yeah, she got sloppy and then she got mad at her friends, but it still is like so deeply entertaining.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very entertaining. And I get a lot more joy out of watching that than watching her try an event plan.
Yeah.
Or watching her try and navigate some sort of like podcast drama she's created. Like, I don't care. And I don't want her to talk about like real issues.
Yeah.
Because
I don't
it's
want
like,
that.
You're just going to piss me off and make me hate you. And I want to like love hate you.
Exactly. And like what I want from my Stassi experience. It's for her to have like a moment of extreme entitlement, aka it's my birthday, while having a bullet that had been put into her head from yeah. makeup. You know, like the fact that she is being like, it's my birthday, and she's like a zombie in the middle of July,
mm-hmm.
and then goes walking off onto like Hollywood Boulevard or wherever they were. That's just like perfection to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was like, do the Italian.
Yeah. Move. It was like, and that there was like a ranch fountain in the background.
That ranch fountain really grossed me out because it was so small.
I agree. It was like on the floor or something.
It was like very close to the ground and it was like gurgle bubbling. Like yeah. It was making sounds, which I don't think a fountain is supposed to do. A food fountain is not supposed to gurgle.
I would actually disagree. I feel like gurgling is acceptable for any sort of like liquefied, any sort of opaque fountain. Can gurgle,
but a food that you're like dipping, you get like a piece of pizza and then you like walk over to this yummy fountain and then it's like gurgle bubbly. Like, I'm like, I don't want to put that on my pizza.
Yeah. I oddly had an issue with it being sort of low, small and low to the floor.
It was too small.
It was like the thing that like someone could have like accidentally knocked over, or like you're like talking and you put your hand to your side because you think you're gonna like yeah. get your jacket. You put your hand into a ranch fountain instead,
or you like swing a purse and the purse like goes right through yeah. the fountain.
Yeah, I feel like it needed to have more of an important place in the room. Like
yeah.
it should have been on the bar. It should have had like an arrangement of things around it.
If for an event planner,
yeah.
it seemed like a not well-planned event.
Yeah, I mean,
like
it was promising.
It was promising, but then it was like in a weird cave. There were some props, but then
weird.
It was like in a weird cave kind of setting. Like,
it was I mean, both settings, honestly, for the parties were a little
one
off.
Was like in an elevator bank.
One was like in the manager's office that like cleared the desk out.
Yeah.
It was like above COD, which I've never been to. But,
I've never
like...
been to either, but I was just like, where is this like office building? And then it was like, where is this like spelunking trip taking place? I was like not thrilled with either location.
Yeah. LA is good for a strange location because
yeah.
I've been to some really strange parties where it's like, oh, this is you're having a party in this space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're like in a like an unrenovated space above a restaurant downtown right now, and that's like used to be a hotel in the 20s, and like this is now like someone set up a bar, and now this is actually where we're having an event.
Yeah. I've been to several, like, I can go to, like, a TBD location for a party if it's, mm-hmm. like, a rave in, like, a weird warehouse yeah. or, like, an abandoned office building or something like
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah, that works for
it's,
that.
In those situations, I'm down to just, like, kind of, like, drug out and forget about my problems.
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm going to go to have, like, a cocktail at someone's birthday party, I don't want to do it at either of the places that
yeah.
Stassi or Ariana.
Yeah,
had
I felt
party.
Like venue choices could have been better this
yeah.
year.
For they could
birthdays.
Have had like a location scout.
There was like something. I feel like Stassi's could have actually been that had potential to be awesome because it was like a cave and it was a cave. Murdery.
Yeah.
But it kind of felt like it was just a room with some heads in it.
It was a room with some heads in it, and then pizza boxes just piled on a table, and then like a miniature ranch fountain.
Honestly, it all comes down to
on like a little wire. Fountain. It was like it did not look sturdy. Nothing about
it looked
that
like
was
it had
sturdy.
Been purchased from Spencer's Toys, Spencer yeah. Toys, and it was like not even meant for ranch. It was like a bird bath they put ranch into.
I think it's like meant also for like chocolate or like that liquid chocolate that yeah. you can do, because I've been wanting to do like a nachos party for a long time, yeah. but I would love like a cheese, like a nacho cheese fountain.
Fondue, if you will.
Yeah, fondue.
Yeah, let's elevate this, please.
But like everything that I could find was on Amazon was like those tiny little fountains, and they make me really uncomfortable, as well, you know. And so now I'm very triggered.
Well, you have tall ceilings in here, so you can't. Yeah. If you have a tall ceiling, you need to have a fondue fountain that like accentuates the height of the room.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I seem to remember this ranch fountain as some sort of like, it may have been like a Domino's promotion. Like
it did seem like a
Domino.
It
was something that was like a thing, I think, last summer for like a second. Like, oh my God, you can get like a ranch fountain.
The keg of ranch, I think it's maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Or the mini keg of ranch. Maybe. There was a keg of ranch. Ranch is really having a moment. And Stassi's helping like usher ranch back into the spotlight.
Yeah, she's into it. You know, we have an ongoing joke actually with Katie and ranch mm-hmm. dressing, because last season there was that scene where Katie got into a fight with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like.
Eating the salad.
Just like started stuffing her face with salad. And somehow like our like ongoing reference of it turned into that Katie was like stuffing her face with iceberg lettuce and ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So we just always align Katie with ranch.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm struggling to pivot onto Stassi being the ranch queen.
Ranch spokesmodel.
Yeah, exactly.
That store that she went to, Dapper Cadaver.
Dapper Cadaver.
Have you ever heard of that place?
Daps Cadavs.
Yeah.
Decaps.
My favorite way to spend the Sunday post brunch. Head on over to Daps Cabs.
Daps Cabs.
Gaps Cadabs.
I haven't. I assume it's in Burbank.
Yeah.
Ronnie and I were talking about it today when we were doing our episode, and we're just saying how it just sounds like it was like a creation of Sheena. Like, I'm not a Dapper Cadaver, you know?
Yeah. That guy too that runs it was like obsessed with Stassi.
Yeah.
I feel like his like queen just walked in the room, and then he was like, he was just in awe of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing that Ronnie mentioned was that there were no Dapper Cadavers in there.
No. There was one that was kind of well-dressed.
Oh, I didn't. I must
it
have
was the one
it.
That she was like, that one looks like Jax. It yeah. was kind of like in like a tux kind of suit
yeah.
type of thing and a okay. top hat.
I somehow missed it.
But yeah, it was not very dapper. They weren't yeah. very dapper.
Yeah, Dapper Cadaver. You know, LA is a weird place.
LA is a weird place, but what I love is that you can just find like a murdery store or that weird like stylist warehouse that Sheena and all them went into.
Yeah, where they got all their stuff for Coachella.
I'm really also confused. I'm like, okay, so if you have access to this huge stylist warehouse space
right.
and you come out looking like you do most of the time, like where is like, what's not adding up here?
Yeah.
Because exactly. you have a lot of options.
Yeah. And what she ultimately did choose for the party did not speak of, prop warehouse. It didn't seem like, oh, you had to go to a specific warehouse
yeah.
to get this lacy white something or another with a fur thing.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know my ladies' fashions very well, but that seemed to just be like a Melrose Avenue kind of.
Yeah, it didn't look like thing. It wasn't like special or styled.
Yeah. It wasn't like a flapper costume.
No.
You know?
She was like, I'm like Max from Where the Wild Things Are with a camel toe.
It's Cleopatra. I'm like, there's
wait,
nothing
what
Egyptian.
Is a Cleopatra about that look? Does she know what she's even saying?
I don't
saying?
Think she even knows what Cleopatra is.
Anytime
I think she thinks of Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleopatra.
Anytime there's like a teeny tiny crown. I mean, I don't like anything that's like very small. You know what I mean? Like a teeny crown like that, or like a teeny little top hat.
Or like a teeny ranch
or
fountain.
Or a teeny ranch fountain.
It's like all proportions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the teeny crown really was like hurting me.
Was Sheena wearing a teeny crown?
Sheena was wearing a teeny little crown.
I didn't even see it.
I think she might have worn the crown with her huge ponytail through it, or it was like right in front of her ponytail.
I wish she had worn like a Cleopatra headdress instead.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those Sphinx-y things.
Yeah.
Just
Sheena would
spectacle.
Have done a really good Egyptian look.
She could probably do a very, she should do it for her birthday.
Yeah.
Like Cleopatra and just like pyramids, sand and pyramids or something. She'll probably do it like some sort of offensive version of it.
Oh, totally. I was like, this is already problematic. For
yeah, it's already
like
feeling
an Egyptian
a little weird.
Party in the first place.
An Egyptian.
But I'm in.
Yeah. Like Sphinx. Like, I'm sure there's a pun to be made with Sphinx. I have to think about it. Like, I have to Sphinx about it. No, that was.
That was okay.
It was not that. Okay. It was not great.
I'll give you a pass.
I feel for my debut on the Sexy Unique podcast.
You're not
I feel like I should
confident
be
confident in that. Pun.
I should have better material.
Well, you know, there's still time.
Thank you.
Sheena seemed really jealous when Lala was complimenting Ariana's physique in the styling warehouse. Like, Lala was like, "This is my favorite booty," and then it cut to Sheena like having like a short circuit moment where you just see the wheels turning. Her being like, "What about my ass?"
But I have an ass too.
Tom Tom is happening. They both wrote checks for $25,000.
Scary. Scary to write a check for $25,000.
Yeah.
I mean, I have concerns about that rubble and how it's going to get out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know if the sweat equity is going to really pan out.
It looks like a tetanus disaster waiting to happen. There's so many like loose nails. I wouldn't trust either of them to like clear anything out.
No, I wouldn't want to. Me personally, I wouldn't want to even touch any of that stuff.
No, it's like asbestos.
Yeah. Like, what do you do with it?
And also, it's not their job to do like, isn't that, don't you need to like hire like union workers to do that kind of stuff or something?
Probably.
Like construction people? Yeah,
probably. I mean, I know this is their way of getting out of having to pay that extra money is that they're going to save everyone money by like getting rid of that stuff themselves. But there probably are some union violations.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know these things.
Do you know if and when that restaurant is even opening?
I don't know.
Do you have
intel
on it?
You know, I feel like I should have intel.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like I should.
I'm like, get
but
out.
But I haven't like, I feel like it's not that I haven't cared enough to get the intel, but I think I got intel at one point. So, okay, full disclosure. So I have become friendly with Ariana and Tom because, I met them through a friend. Like I met them like a normal, natural way.
Yeah.
Natural friendship.
Yeah.
And our friend had a wedding back in November in Mexico. It was a destination wedding. So Ronnie and I, by the way, for people who are wondering, Ronnie is my co-host. Ronnie and I, were there at the wedding, and then Tom and Ariana were too, and so we became friends and everything. And I feel like I asked something about Tom Tom at the wedding, and I was too drunk
to remember.
Hold on to it.
Yeah, these things happen.
It's a very long way of saying I don't have intel.
You know, I think when it's like coming, you know what I mean. We'll all know when we know.
We'll know.
Yeah.
I wonder where. Do you know where it's supposed to be?
I think it's around the corner from Pump, like on Santa Monica.
Yeah,
is what it looks like.
Yeah,
but.
Like where millions of milkshakes used to be?
Yeah, maybe. Or like on that stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about, I know this is going back a few episodes, but what are your thoughts on their idea of putting the kitchen upstairs and like the bathroom like right in the front? Like
I hate that. I hate, like I don't love Lisa's like decoration, like any of her interior design stuff or decorations. Like I'm not on board. And I kind of was into Sandoval's like making it really comfortable and like homey and chill. I think having a kitchen upstairs and having waiters go up and downstairs like holding trays of food and drinks is precarious.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Only time will tell.
Yeah. I mean, I know in New York City, it's a very common thing that the kitchen's like downstairs, you know, but I feel like I don't trust the wait staff in West Hollywood to balance those trays up and down the staircase.
No.
And I'm also concerned about what it's going to look like because honestly, all their places like between Villa Blanca and Sir and Pump, they all just sort of look like
they look the same.
Like
it's variations on a theme.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is variations on a theme.
Yeah,
I think Pump is the prettiest of them.
Definitely, that courtyard is really pretty with the trees.
Yes, but I'm concerned that Tom Tom should be sort of like more of like a
masculine
space.
Yeah, leather.
Yeah, because honestly,
leather and metal.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
Maybe some exposed bricks.
Yeah, I don't understand a Tom Tom. That then had a restaurant called Tom Tom that then is decorated like Pump 2.0.
It's going to have like zebra print pillows. It's going to look like Max's apartment.
Yeah.
It's basically going to have like some purple velvet. you know, some brass accents.
Yeah.
Silver accents.
It's like some, sexy king, sexy king's lair.
Like, look, I found like an Asian statue that's gonna go in the corner because it's exotic.
Tom-toms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I wonder what kind of food they'll serve there. If it's just going to be the same old shit.
Yeah. Like a hummus trio.
Yeah.
With like pita triangles.
Angel hair chukka.
I don't even know what that is. It just sounds funny.
Stelzy had name checked it on Watch What Happens Live because Andy brought up the pasta and he was like, is it about the pasta? And she was like, it's not. Like, I was there with the pasta and I wanted to eat some, but I'm glad I didn't. And it was the angel hair chukka from Sir. And
the angel hair chukka. Yeah.
Ariana goes to therapy, which was, I'm really like, I love that Ariana's having this like vulnerable moment.
Yeah.
But I also don't know how I feel about her handling this moment on TV. Like, I don't know like how legitimate like a live therapy session is.
Yeah. I always wonder about live therapy on TV, but I actually like it. I feel like.
I like watching. I like that her therapist seemed to have gotten a blowout and got really glammed up.
The therapists always get dressed up and they usually put on like a little like neck scarf or something.
They're always like a jaunty accessory.
Yeah.
But this one's had, she like went and got a full ombre blowout.
Oh yeah.
And that makes me not trust the therapist because like I would want my therapist to just show up looking like she does like on the day to day. I would be really pissed if my therapist showed up camera ready and then would probably need to talk to her about that like in the appointment.
Yeah. I mean, I rarely trust the therapist on Bravo. There's been like a line of terrible ones. Well,
you don't
tell me more about that.
Yeah. Did you watch that therapy show that was like, didn't they have therapist a therapy
or something like therapy? Yeah, it was called LA Shrinks.
Something like that, yeah.
I watched one episode because I knew two of the guys that were on, like there were these twins, and so I knew two of them, and I was like, I said, well, I'll see this. But I didn't like it, and I always thought I would like it because sometimes I find the therapy scenes on these shows to be riveting when like someone is like, has to come face-to-face with their own bad behavior.
Yeah.
But I found that LA Shrinks was like not for me.
No. I think I watched one episode and there was one therapist that I really liked who kind Dr. of v. seemed like a psycho. Was she like really sexy?
Yeah.
And did she take a bath at one point on camera?
Yeah, like in the first episode. Yeah.
I was like, I love this bath lady. I'm into her.
And then she like went to Real Housewives in New Jersey to try to fix the Teresa Giudice's family. And that was the last we saw of her.
Yeah. She's like chopped up and like floating in trash bags weighted in the Hudson River. Yeah.
She is long gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I do feel like the therapists on Bravo always do a blowout. They always try to look real, real sharp because they're waiting. They're hoping that they're going to get like that spinoff moment.
Yeah. Or get like more clients.
Yeah.
But I personally would not be like, oh my God, this therapist that was on Bravo recently, like I'm dying to go to her.
Well, also Ariana's therapist didn't really seem to be doing a lot of therapy. She was like, oh, that's good. You have friends? She's like, yeah, I do have friends. You have support network? Yeah. You have someone who can tell you that she loves you? Yeah. It's like this is like talking to my mom or something.
It seemed like it might have been a first appointment. Like,
yeah.
Cause she didn't know any of the background about her life.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope it wasn't like their 50th appointment.
I've never been to therapy, so I don't even know.
Really?
No.
Oh, wow.
But I feel like I'm going to try it.
Try it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to find like all sorts of horrible things about myself. Like, why do you podcast? Why do you focus on other people's lives instead of your own?
It's so weird to talk about like podcast stuff to a therapist because I've explained like some podcasting stuff or if I'm like having a problem or like whatever. And I always wonder like, are they going to go listen to this podcast? Yeah. Like, do they listen to it? Mm-hmm. Do they know about it?
Yeah.
But then I never am okay to ask that.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to know.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to know what their experience is with me. I need them to just hear my experience with the world.
That's probably all they want to hear.
Yeah.
They don't want to have like more of you than necessary, you know?
Yeah, they're not like, oh God, I'm dying. This girl just cried about her dad for like an hour and a half. Like, let me go hit up her podcast.
Let me find some clues in the podcast. Yeah. And it's like trying to do a deep dive.
Ariana's, I hope she like gets over her like vagina journey.
Yeah.
and her like body dysmorphia, because that is really sad and a real problem.
And I actually get it. I feel like I have like that.
Yeah, I fully understand where she's coming from.
Yeah, that's why I liked it, because I actually felt like it was really relatable what she was going through.
It is. And I don't know if Tom Sandoval is equipped to handle, to like fully understand and like handle this journey.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where their relationship goes.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to handle it, because I thought he was so sweet when he finally sort of started to realize what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, when he realized that he had to step away from the ongoing high of making over triplets and spend more time with his girlfriend. I mean, it's hard to chase that high, let's be honest.
It's hard, yeah. He was like, I was just like riding this hat. I was like, you literally went to H&M and then put a shirt on them.
Dude, welcome to Hollywood.
I just was like cringing when they're talking on the couch and he's like, you had multiple orgasms. And she was like, no. Like basically saying she like faked a lot of orgasms and was like always uncomfortable.
I don't get it then, because you were having orgasms. So how could you be not having orgasms at the same time, dude?
And she's like, no, I didn't have them. He's like, no, I know that you did. And then that was kind of the end of that like train of the conversation. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting place.
Interesting processing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know you did.
Yeah. You did. I'm pretty sure.
You did.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/sexyunique.
Has Lisa stopped Yulin yet?
No.
I thought she did stop it for a month or so.
I mean, I could be wrong. Don't quote me on it. I think that now she has resorted to like yin yanging it. So she's like, well, if there's going to be Yulin, I'm going to have World Dog Day on Third Street. That would balance it all out.
I swear to God, I thought that at one point she had posted that.
Oh, maybe she had.
Maybe I dreamed this. I don't know, but I have a dream, and that's that one day Yulin will stop forever. But like, she posted, like, we did it. We finally stopped Yulin. You know, like, it's over. Right. And then because I had always been making fun of her. I was like, stop. Like, this is your biggest cause of life. Like, the thing that you think is most wrong with the world is Yulin. Like, okay, sure. But like, you're never probably going to stop this. And then I had to be like, I eat my own words because she fully stopped Yulin. But then I think a couple months later, Yulin started back up again.
Yeah, like anything in China is going to really stop for Lisa Vanderpump. Yeah. I mean,
they're like, this cultural tradition that we've had for thousands of years, like, oh, this rich lady in Beverly Hills with the reality show doesn't like it and has a World Dog Day on Third Street.
Yeah. I have to credit Lisa Vanderpump. The fact that we all know what Yulin is now is a testament to like her activism. But I'm like mixed on the whole Yulin thing because I obviously don't want dogs to be killed or eaten or whatever.
Well, yeah.
But I also feel like it's a different cultural thing. And like for us, you know, it's like sacrilege to kill a dog because it's like they're part of our culture as pets. But that's not to say that they're going to be the same in other cultures. And I don't know Chinese culture well enough to know to what extent dogs are domesticated or not. But like, I feel like I respect the fact that different cultures have different views on animals. And I respect if someone is like heated about the Yulin thing, I will not be like, oh my God, get over it. I'll be like, I respect that. Just for me personally, I'm sort of in this weird gray area where I would, you know, it's like hard for me to like to have a some sort of like crusade against another culture that's different than mine.
Yeah. I don't love that like the Yulin Dog Festival happens.
Yeah. I don't love that either.
I'm not like
I don't think
huge,
I even like it.
No, I don't like I'd venture to say that I don't like it.
I don't like
would
it.
Venture to say that I
and
don't
I'm a cat person.
What? Yeah. You're like, Yulin can do whatever Yulin wants to do, as far as I'm concerned. Meow, meow. Yeah, I don't love Yulin, but I also am like not going to go out of my way to stop Yulin.
I feel like if I were at Sir and like she came around with a collection plate and was like, this is for Yulin, I'd be like, okay, I'll throw a dollar in.
Yeah, I'd give it a dollar.
But I think like in terms of causes that are important to me or to my family or my boyfriend or whatever, I think there's some other ones I think that would probably be closer.
Yeah.
Like that I feel like are more pressing that pertain to humans that I think should be addressed first.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yulin is not my number one cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what my number one cause is, but it probably has something to do with gayness or like Black Lives Matter-ish
Fair
stuff.
Enough.
You know?
Fair,
like not, human rights.
I'm offended that you're not saying Yulin, but that's okay.
You live Yulin. To quote
you
Alanis.
Lose Yulin. That would be a really good remix of that song.
I think actually if you look at Jagged Little Pill as a whole, almost all those songs could pertain to Yulin.
Yeah.
You ought to know.
Yeah, totally.
One hand in my pocket. That's
and the
about
other
like,
hand is stopping Yulin.
And isn't it ironic, don't you think, that we care about dogs and not as much about humans?
Mm-hmm.
It's like
Yulin.
It's just it. Just like Yulin.
On your wedding day. Like a Yulin
it's
on a
like,
wedding day.
It's like a fridge full of dog meat when all you want is more socially acceptable meat. And who would have thought it'd figure? I'll go through all those.
I like it.
I'll go through all of them. Head over heels. I mean, whatever. Wherever you want to go with this.
Head over heels is like about falling in love with a Yulin supporter. Like it's like a young white girl.
You've already won me over, Lisa Vanderpump. Despite
of
me,
Yulin.
And don't be alarmed if I donate anti-Yulin causes. It's just not poetic at all, but it's very late stage,
like,
Alanis.
Yeah, it's current and it's speaking to the larger issue.
It has something to say.
Yeah. I actually now want to, like, write a rom-com about, like, someone who's desperate to stop Yulin, who meets, like, a really nice guy that happens to be into Yulin, and, like, where
he's
they...
He's into it.
He's, like, into it, like, fully has participated in the Yulin Dog Meat Festival,
yeah,
and then, like a West Hollywood girl with, like, her little dog, yeah, and then see how they, like, make it work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he's,
and then,
like,
Alanis could do the whole soundtrack.
She could be, like, the... She would actually be in the movie,
yeah,
as, like, the spectral presence, mm-hmm, you know, almost like Greek choir slash fairy godmother, sort of, like, you know, just appearing here and there to advise this conflicted girl.
Yeah.
As she goes to Yulin and realizes it's like Ferris wheels. There's a whole festival beyond just the dogs.
Yeah. It's like you're only seeing one part of Yulin. You're not getting the full picture.
There's so much more to it.
There's,
you know,
so much...
like there's just, it's a fun time.
Like, yeah, dogs are in cages, like getting skinned alive and boiled, but like there's also a really fun, like, water gun thing. Yeah.
And like she comes, like she's like shows up at her friend's apartment and they're all just like sitting there like where have you been? We've been doing Yulin posters. And she's like, I've been out with Jonas. Mm-hmm. Oh. And how's he doing? Has he made any posters? I guess not, because he actually likes Yulin, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, then it's like a slow walk. She like walks down the street to like sad music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out her life. Like, why does she have to fall in love with this guy of all people?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But it's like it's a real opportunity for different cultures to learn about each other
and then
accept each other for who they are.
And then when she's at the festival, she realizes, like, does he even like me, or am I just like an accessory here? It's like, he cares more about these people. And she's like, you know what? I'm going back to America. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's like in the airport and he shows up and he's like, look what I got for you. And it's a puppy that he saved from Yulin,
yeah,
for her, because she means that much to him that he's willing to save a puppy from his favorite festival.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
It's beautiful.
They kiss. The music swells. Yulin rages on, but that's okay because they found love.
They found love.
Yeah.
And they saved a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The end.
It's beautiful.
It's stunning.
I love it.
It's like Yulin.
It's like Yulin.
On your wedding day.
They get married at Yulin. Yeah.
While the credits roll.
A Yulin activist got on a plane meant for China but ended up in Taiwan. It was really awkward.
It's like meeting a man and then meeting his fellow Yulin Dog Meat Festival participant friends.
His beautiful fellow Yulin Dog Meat participant friends.
Oh, wow.
We're going there.
We went there.
We had a lot of Yulin talk.
We have so much. I could go for hours. I could do a separate podcast just about Yulin.
Yulin parody songs?
Yeah. I live
in
for it.
Alanis. Yeah. I mean, she... I don't want to harp on this joke about Alanis doing Yulin, but she has an oeuvre outside of Jagged Little Pill. And honestly, like... If there ever was a parody song by Alanis for Yulin, it would probably have to be Thank You.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you, Yulin. Thank you, Lisa Vanderpump. Thank you. Thank you, dogs who are alive and dead.
Thank you. Thank you, dog meat. Yay!
Like, yeah, that part where it gets like, yeah.
That would be really powerful.
It'd be really powerful. I'm afraid that the more I like harp on this point, the more I'm just like, losing you subscribers.
I feel like this is a making fun of Yulin is a controversial stance.
Because people are not going to get it. People are going to be like, are you guys pro Yulin?
I haven't actually decided where I fall on the Yulin spectrum.
For the record, I just want to remind people, I did say I neither love nor like Yulin.
Yeah, I don't love it or like it.
Yeah. Good. But I do like an Alanis parody.
I like an Alanis parody, mm-hmm. and I like when it's talked about on reality shows.
Yes.
I have Googled it, and I don't like Googling it.
I would never Google it.
No.
That's
so
too much.
Part of my like Patreon for this podcast is that I do a hierarchy of darkness. So it's like an interactive poll where people can rank the darkest things about Vanderpump Rules. Mm. And then I like publish it into a master list, just like trying to catalog. It's like a scientific experiment. Mm-hmm. But Yulin... The Yulin Dog Meat Festival is one of the things I ask people to vote on. And in the polls that I make, I usually put a picture, but I didn't want to like make this fun podcast poll with like an actual picture of Yulin. So instead I put a picture of Lisa Vanderpump at her, like at a Stop Yulin event.
And Yulin forever.
But then I think that people, voters got confused that I was actually just talking about her Stop Yulin thing. So it didn't get ranked very dark, because like 10 is the darkest something you get ranked and like 1 is the least dark. And it got like a 5. And I was like, did everyone not get the memo? Like Yulin, I guess I need to spell out like what Yulin is, but I also just didn't want to traumatize them.
Yeah, I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I think I did. Maybe we'll just have to re-vote on it that they know everything.
The Yulin revisitation.
We've spilled the Yulin beans. They can make a more informed voter decision.
Yeah, I'm glad we thought that through.
Yeah. I love when Katie says to Stassi, she goes, so I'm going to make you dead in the eyes, but still pretty. Which was really
good.
That
was my favorite part. That entire scene when they were just sort of describing their look. Yeah. You know, their lookbook was basically, you know, like, I'm like dead. But like I just died, so I still have my fake tan, and I'm still hot, but I'm just like very recently dead.
Yeah. Like I've only been dead for 24 hours, and we're like all like hot sluts in a morgue.
Yeah, like rigor mortis is just starting to kick in, so I'm like a little stiff, but it's just like me on a date anyway.
Yeah, and like my boobs are really perky because of the stiffness, so it works.
Yeah, like morgue chic.
Shot in the head chic.
Shot in the head chic. That was basically all of us watching this.
Yeah. Sandoval trying to get dressed for the party too was a real, like, he's a stress case when it comes to events.
And I liked how the more frazzled he got mentally, the more his choices became international, because he had like a kilt on and yet was also trying on like an Indian, what's it called? Sherwani, I think it's called. Yeah. You know, it was like, okay, this is like an interesting, like cultural mashup of kilt and like Indian jacket. Okay. Yeah. With like Marilyn Manson eyes.
Yeah. He was like really, he was going, taking the theme and then trying to apply it to different areas, which I appreciated.
He had no vision, unfortunately.
I think he ended on a good note, though.
Well, I mean, thank God he has an emergency contact that he reserves solely for costume issues.
Yeah. Because his look, I felt like complimented Ariana's.
Pointy.
Yeah, it was very pointy. And I'm into him in those contacts.
That's what we were saying, too.
Really?
He's like oddly, like, attractive in
Marilyn Manson. In the contacts.
Yeah.
It's like an icy blue eye.
I think he's been looking really good this season. He's had, like, a few angles where he's just, like, been staring off into something. And it's like, Tom is looking really good these days.
Yeah. I'm into Sandoval's look. I wish that he would, like, clean up his fashion sense a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that mock tee zip with the blazer.
But he's expressing his personality. You know, he like built his foundation. He put the shoes and the pants are his foundation.
Yeah.
And expressing the personality with a top.
What did he say last episode where it was like when they're shopping in the suit store and he's like, it's just like so great when you just feel good. You like put on clothes, you fucking love them or something like that. And he was like walking out. I was like, you look like a psychotic person. Like he's wearing like huge baggy shorts and like weird like fashion sneakers. I just like couldn't get down.
Well, there was that iconic moment from last season. He goes, wait, dudes, wait. I want everyone to take a moment and to visualize your outfit.
Sandy, Britt had to tell Jax that he wasn't allowed to come to World Dog Day, and then Jax's response was, I thought I'd been doing better, I've been going to Reiki.
Reiki fixes everything.
Reiki is fixing everything for
a few
him.
Little taps here and there and you're good to go.
A few people have said that they think that he's like banging the Reiki healer.
I think that's the implication.
Yeah.
I think that's the implication. I don't know if it's true. I mean, on this show, though,
I feel like anything could happen.
Yeah. I feel like they're just trying to allude to that. I mean, if that were happening, I would secretly love that. But I don't think he is. Because Jax and Brittany are all together, all up in each other's business on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I feel like if there were a Reiki situation, I don't know if we'd be seeing them together. I don't think even Brittany would go back to that.
But I feel like, because they were together prior to the summer, and then there was like a breakup period. Mm-hmm. But there have been several on and off moments, I think, since the summer.
Yeah.
And then currently they're back on as of like Christmas holidays. So maybe the Reiki stuff came to a head, like either after filming or right at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's
I
mean, a mystery. The
it's fascinating, but we do know one thing. Call me Jason.
Call me Jason.
Yeah.
She goes, who's going to own this anger? I won't let will? It be me. Who is going who, to?
Someone has to own it.
I'm like, who will, though? I think he should.
He probably
First
should.
First and foremost, he just should own it one time.
It should be like a co-parenting between Jax and Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. They can both own it.
They both can because they're the same person.
Yeah. But like, let's own it and then we can like disown it.
Yeah.
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 I don't understand her full process.
I don't, you know, this is my first significant exposure to Reiki and I feel like I'm learning it wrong.
I think you are. I don't think that this is Reiki because I think I've experienced Reiki and it's more of like a no touch massage type of thing. Mm. Like it's like people just like put their hands really close right. to you. It's like an energy healing.
Okay.
I didn't know that it involved taps, but I don't know. I haven't delved super into it. The woman who does Jax's Reiki healing was recently featured on a Goop, like a special
really?
Goop event. Yeah, which blew my mind.
Wow.
That was too close. That's too close for comfort. Like two worlds converging that I'm really uncomfortable with them being in each other's universes. Yeah.
I mean, Jax does make me think of Goop, but not in the Gwyneth Paltrow sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Tom and Ariana, Patrick is a dick. I don't like him at all.
Awful.
He's awful.
He's awful. And I'm really glad that Stassi and Patrick broke up.
Me too.
Because he's terrible. I'm like, this is why you walked away. You went to New York for this guy.
Yeah.
You've been going through emotional bullshit because of this guy with
he
a man
sucks.
Bun. He's a bro with a man bun.
He's a bro with a curly man bun.
Yeah.
A textured man bun.
Yeah.
And he didn't dress up for her party, which I thought was really rude.
So mad at that.
Yeah.
I'm like, so she's spending all this money and whatever or an effort. Who knows if she's spending the money, but she's spending the effort
yeah.
to get all this stuff to do this thing. It's important to her. Like, at least do something token, even
all
if you're not
you would
into
have to
it.
Do, like, make put dark makeup under your eyes.
Or like
one stream of blood out of your nose.
Or like
something.
Some sort of like t-shirt or something. Like there are ways to do it where you don't have to sacrifice your unique Patrickness,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and so you can still do the costume. And instead he's like, I gotta be in my man bun with my long sweater thing.
I was like, you look like the Unabomber. Like, stop.
I'm not into it. He's just like a big bro. And I don't think that he's like charming or anything special. And I honestly think the whole Amsterdam thing is a little fucked up.
That's really weird. Like, I don't understand the sequence of events. Like, so it's like they got in a fight. Like, she reached out to him to like try and sext him. He brushed her off. So they got in a fight. And then she said, well, I'm just going to like go find someone else.
Yeah.
Then he blocked her, but for the length of time that he was in Amsterdam. So it makes me think that he was actually like going out and doing stuff.
Absolutely. He's in Amsterdam. He definitely was because normally it would be, I mean, from my understanding of like a tumultuous relationship,
mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky that I'm not in one of those.
Yeah.
But like from what I've seen on TV and from like other people, like when someone does that thing, like, well, I'm going to go find with someone else. And then there's a blocking. It's usually by like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an unblock.
Yeah.
Especially if one of you is going off to Europe and it's like, there's like an unblock.
Yeah.
And the fact that he blocked
her. If you're together, because they are together at this point in time.
Yeah.
And they're like boyfriend, girlfriend again.
Together. And he blocked her for his entire European vacation. I think that's like fucked up. And he's like, yeah, I mean, there were a few moments like when I went to the Van Gogh Museum when I sort of missed her and I got like a little emotional, but like whatever.
I'm
like,
yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
how
about if you did feel a little something, how about you like unblock her and be like, send her a picture of where you are and be like, hey, thinking of you. Is that so wrong?
So they just like didn't speak the entire time.
I guess not.
That's weird. And then for that to happen and then him to unblock and then her being like, come to my friend's birthday party. Like, I guess I don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation, but.
Well, I just feel like.
And what is she so, she's so nervous about him being
right.
there. I just feel like she's found this guy who like, she doesn't act like herself really around him.
Yeah.
Like she's more demure and like he kind of diminishes her like shine. And I think that it increases, like he really cuts her self-esteem and like,
I mean, I think it's like she probably has low self-esteem to begin with, which is what led her into his arms in the yeah. first place. But like, he's not helping like raise her up or make her a better no. person.
He probably fills her head with all sorts of things like she's so lucky that he's finally agreed to be on camera, you yeah. know? So she's like so nervous that like he'll just not want to be on camera anymore or whatever. Like he sort of, I feel like he sort of dangles something. Like he dangles himself over her.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to think about like when she left the show, it was right around the time that he came in the picture. So he's yeah. probably like, you're better than the show. The show fucking sucks. Like blah, blah, blah. Like just come with me. And then she did and walked away from the only thing she really had going yeah. on, which yeah. is unfortunate.
Yeah, because those residuals from Amazing Race Family Edition are not coming through.
Nor are the ones from Queen Bees or whatever other show she was yeah. on.
But, you know, the thing is, I almost don't even think that he said, like, oh, come to New York because you're better than the show. I feel like he was like, I'm like the shit. And, like, he like, did this thing where she felt, like, smarter by being around him because she was like, oh, my God, Patrick is so witty. He's, like, witty AF and, like, just as smart. Like, there's this whole, like, cult of Patrick. And
yeah.
We have not seen any evidence of it so far.
No. I mean, I've never sought out any of his, like, recordings or, like, shows to, like...
Yeah, me neither.
But I also am not interested. What I've seen here has led me to believe that if I go down that road, it'll just be more of the same.
Disappointing. I think that, like, he probably says a lot of, like, pseudo-intellectual bullshit that sounds appealing. And, mm-hmm. like, if you've just left a show in a whirlwind of like, self-importance, and you've gone off to New York to be the sophisticate you've always wanted to be, and then you meet someone who's saying things in pseudo intellectual way, unlike me right now, but you're like talking in this way and you're making like semi literate references because you just like someone just was talking to you about like Maureen Dowd. And so you mentioned, oh, like, that's so Maureen Dowd, you know? And like, you've come to New York, you meet this guy who makes these references, who seems like he's so urbane mm-hmm. and cultured and smart. And you're like, I don't think he even has to say you're better than the show. She's thinking to herself, oh my God. This is the life I'm meant for.
Yeah. I finally did it. Like, I finally met the one. Like, this is the person to get me out of this whole thing.
Exactly. And I think that she holds him up on a pedestal for some reason. And she doesn't have to because she's Stassi.
Because she's Stassi. And she also, like, started her own pod. What I do kind of love about their relationship is that she started a podcast just being like, let me see about this. And then grew it to be, like, a crazily successful endeavor.
Yeah,
which I'm sure chaps his ass like so hard.
Yeah,
I know that he's like resentful.
That's such a good point
of that.
Resentful AF.
Yeah,
for real. Because I was looking at the charts earlier today, like overall charts, you know, mm-hmm. and like our podcast does well in the TV and film silo.
Yeah,
but like hers is like top 200 of overall.
Yeah,
which is actually a huge accomplishment.
That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah,
like you can't like I wish I could shit on it, but I can't really shit on that fact.
You can shit on it.
You can, yeah.
You can. You can mm-hmm. say, oh, she didn't really deserve it. She's on TV. It doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
But the truth is, yeah, it's worth it for her to have a super popular podcast where she says problematic things on it, only because we know it bothers him with whatever show he's on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's great.
I like that. That's the only part of that podcast that I really like.
That's my favorite part about it.
Yeah.
Straight up Stassi.
Patrick hates it.
Yeah. Patrick hates it. I really dislike him.
Yeah. Same. I'm ready for him to go.
And honestly, okay, I'll say this too. You know when they broke up, you remember it was like, she was like crying.
Oh yeah. Because like, she was going to go to Mexico.
She was going to go to Mexico. The one time I ever hung out with Stassi was the day before.
Day before Patrick dumped her?
Yes.
Whoa.
I was supposed to actually hang out with her a second time uh-huh. the next day.
Yeah.
But then this Patrick business happened and she was like a crying wreck. But she was so excited about that Mexico trip.
Yeah.
And this is not to be like, whoa, with Stassi. But she was like, I'm so excited. We're finally getting a week. And she was like prattling on. I didn't really listen to half of it because yeah. I was like, oh, it's like, I don't care about your boyfriend, yeah, whatever. But she was genuinely like happy. She was going on this trip. She had a week long thing. She's excited to get away. And then he like dumps her right like the night before. That's like shitty. That's shitty. Even for someone like Stassi.
Yeah.
Like it's funny when Stassi gets shat on
yeah.
for sure.
Like I was like laughing watching her like Snapchat.
It was hilarious.
And stuff. But it's also like if a boyfriend, if a boyfriend did that to one of my friends, I would be irate.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It is fucked up. Like, as much as it, like, her bawling on Instagram and then being mad at people who were laughing at her was, like, great theater.
Don't be mean. Don't, that one, like, classic screenshot of her tear-stained face.
And I'm like, we were supposed to hang out tonight and this is what you're doing instead? But, like, but still, objectively, it's fucked up what Patrick did. Yeah. And it just all goes in the Patrick file of why I dislike him.
If he's a fucking asshole.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah. A different, it's like, he's just on a different Jax type of spectrum.
He actually is. You're
right.
He is.
I guess she's dating someone new now who's like pretty hot.
Really?
As from what I've seen on social media.
Okay, that's
but
good.
I also like don't, I mean, I'm unclear on what his vibe is.
Yeah, I'm just going to assume he's ultimately going to be terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you've dated Jax and then Patrick.
Third time's the charm for a real doozy.
Third time's the charmless.
Yeah. Kristen also suddenly is not a Patrick fan, which was weird because I seem to recall a moment where Patrick came over to Stassi's in that feminine trench coat and Kristen like flipped out. Like she was so happy to see him. She was like, I love them. Like I love him together. And then suddenly this episode, she's like, I hate Patrick. He's a fucking dick. Like blah, blah, blah. If he had ever said that, like Jax, she would scoop his heart out with a spoon. Like Kristen.
That's such a good observation. You're right. She totally was like, oh my God, they're like a forever couple. Oh, you know.
I was thrown.
Yeah. And now she's changed. I mean, obviously they filmed this interview after it was a pickup. You know?
Yeah.
As they say in the business. But it's a pickup. But yeah, that was a little bit of a pivot and I actually appreciated it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm into it. I like when all the girls start ganging up against the guys because the men on the show literally get away with murder and they don't get... It's like, I mean, it's rare to see anyone on this show get held accountable for their actions in a real way, but the men just don't get as much shit as all the women do. And the women are partially complicit in this because they like to shit on each other rather than like hold the men accountable.
Yeah.
But I appreciate any time that it's like they're all just going to do a takedown of one of the guys.
It is really good. Although it's been sad because they've really been trying to take down Jax and... It hasn't really been working, you know?
No. I mean, I think Brittany is like, her mind is made up.
Yeah.
And so he could do anything.
He could. As long as he says some token things like, I'm a terrible person. I hate myself. I don't deserve to be on this planet. She's like, oh, Jax, you know?
She's like, it's okay. I'm like, what is going to happen on the rest of this season?
I know. It is a little weird. It's almost like upsetting that it's wrapping, like that arc is almost wrapping up.
Yeah. It's come out so hot out the gates that then when it's showing the rest of the season, I'm like, okay, but where's the like, where's the rest of this like juicy stuff? Like, are we just going to have to live in this like weird Jax and Brittany alternate reality for the next like 2 months?
Yeah, I guess maybe the arc is that they work things out and they wind up in a place of happiness, which no one wants.
No, they and Vanderpump always does this where it's like they torture you as a viewer for episodes and episodes of these horrible relationship dynamics that you actually like you get addicted to and you can't stop watching. And then they do something like make them get married at the end and have everyone be like, oh my God, it's the most beautiful day and like love is all that matters. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of... feel like you're being emotionally manipulated because part of you is like, oh, I guess that is kind of sweet. That's but then you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, part of me feels like the arc is less about Brittany and Jax. It's more just about the decline of Jax because I wouldn't be surprised if the finale is somewhere along the lines of Jax getting fired. It looks like they're leading.
He gets fired and
Yeah, it looks like that might be like the finale or maybe that might be 3/4 of the way through and maybe he gets his job back at the very end. But or maybe it's like he hits rock bottom, you know, and then Reiki saves the day. And then he's like, you know what? At the end of the season, he's like, I'm going to get back on the path. You know, I've got a great girl. I've been treating him terribly. I had a great job. And Jax is gone. Jason is here.
Yeah.
Which I would hate. I would hate it if that's how it pans out.
What if he turns into like the nicest, sweetest guy? He's like gets into yoga. He stops the supplements and just becomes like Jason.
Becomes Jason.
He's like spiritual.
I would never believe it. I would never believe it.
Yeah.
Because he knows exactly.
You could never trust.
He knows exactly what to say to everyone.
Do you think Britney's pregnant? Or do you think that's just like some bullshit that they're trying to do to us?
I don't think she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah, that's... Has any pregnancy rumor ever like panned out?
No.
Never.
And also, if she was pregnant, we would know at this point because that would have filmed.
Yeah, that's cheap that they did the pregnancy thing there.
I know. It's like...
Do we find out about Faith? Has she had her period yet?
I don't know. I don't know if Mother Nature has come calling for Faith. I don't think that she's pregnant.
She just hit like very early menopause. She's like, well, I haven't had my period, but I'm not pregnant, so.
Have we ever, no one has commented on the hospice patient.
I would like to know about that.
Lady. I need to know more. I need to know, it's like, speaks to just the craziness of the Vanderpump universe that like, this could happen and no one is like flagging that as especially weird or like disturbing or like. I would be talking, if I knew a friend or someone in my friend group that had that experience, I would never let it go.
I want to know, first of all, why Faith has like is like doing hospice care. And second of all, what happened to this lady? And third of all, when are we going to address the fact that there's kind of a trend on this show of like boinking someone while someone's in the next room?
Yeah.
They love that. They get off on that.
They do get off on that. It's their fetish.
It really is.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's a conscious decision too. It's not like, and especially with Jax, that might be actually more of a fetish of his than anyone else's.
Yeah. Foot fetish and like.
The stinky foot fetish.
Stinky foot fetish. And then like having sex with someone when someone's in the next room.
Like one wall over.
One wall
one
away.
One wall of separation.
Yeah.
Oh, I was living for Molly Maclear in the background. There was like one shot of her at Ariana's party.
I was looking to see if she was there.
It's right when Ariana walks into the party. So like Sandoval announces her. She walks in and then it cuts to like the party goers. And then Molly's like doing like a really good dance in her like cape and crown. And it was so satisfying to
see her. I saw Molly's best friend in the background. So it's like, I'm sure Molly's has to be there.
Yeah. Oh,
but
she was there.
I couldn't actually find her.
She had a really good dance moment. I need to film it.
Yeah, I need to go back and see that because I want to see her dance moment.
Yeah,
I aspire to have a dance moment on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, that would be, you need one.
I don't think I've ever seen Vanderpump Rules being filmed. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've been like, been around the cast members.
Yeah.
I've been to the restaurants, et cetera. But I don't think I've actually seen it filmed. And I think that's like very important to me.
It is. You should. I highly recommend. I've seen it filmed 3 times.
Wow.
So I'm a veteran, but it's always, it's weird because it's like, it's at these social events that are like set up like parties, but it's not really a party where you could go talk to anyone. Like,
yeah.
Or if you see someone, you know, like, it's like, I was friendly with Ariana and Tom and would want to go into a party and be like, hey, what's up? But it's like, they're filming something.
Yeah.
So you can't interrupt. And it's just, for me, it catches me really off guard.
It's I feel like it's weird.
Getting too close. It's like seeing how the milk is made or something like that. It's like very
How the sausage is made.
Yeah, that's how the sausage is made.
The milk is
made.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I was like, well, unless something really sinister is happening.
That's true. I don't know about the Vanderpump Rules milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I have gone to a few different events where I've been promised there'd be like Vanderpump Rules filming, and every time it's not happening.
That's
and
rude.
So I'm just like, I've given up on chasing the dream.
Yeah.
I did, to circle back to the Hills, I did once go to a bar and the Hills was filming in there. It was Audrina going on a date with Ryan Cabrera.
Amazing.
And I felt like I should just be happy with that.
Yeah. I saw the Hills filming once at the W Hotel in Westwood, I think in like the restaurant. So they were like all in the middle lit. But in a crowded restaurant, which I feel is not something that generally happens on reality TV anymore.
Yeah. I feel like to have witnessed a filming of the Hills, like to see anything of the Hills being filmed, is like saying you were there, like you were original cast member of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
To bring that back, you know, or like, oh yeah, I was in the writer's room, season 1 on Seinfeld or something, you know, like I was there.
You
when
invented
I saw
the Simpsons.
I invented the Simpsons.
Yeah,
like I saw the magic happening.
It's
I was
a moment
in living color, you know. It's like, really, you got to see that. We're so lucky.
We're blessed.
We're blessed. Truly. Hashtag.
Yeah. Anytime that I've been on Vanderpump Rules and it's like cut in a brief moment to me, I'm like kind of just like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Like I'm loving being there, but I'm also nervous.
Yeah. I got to go to the last summer. I got to go to the summer house of Summer House, and
while all the summer houses the summer house?
Yes, I was fully in the summer house experience. And I think the episode where I'm going to be on is like in a week or two. It's like a week or two.
Oh my God, fun.
And so it's the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, like what angles did they get of me? Like, am I going to be like slouched over? Are my man boobs going to be sort of like in bad lighting because I have like a chest issue? So I'm like very nervous.
Were you like, were you in a swimsuit?
No, it was at nighttime.
Okay.
And I was just there and it was like, it was actually like such a highlight in my life because it was like, it's what, cause you know, it's one of those shows where you're just like, it's like a real world type show, right? Where the cameras are everywhere. And so it's not like the Hills or Vanderpump Rules where you go to a shoot. It's like you step into the house and you're on the show.
Oh, okay.
You're in the shoot when you go in. And that's like exhilarating.
That is exhilarating.
To be like, oh my God, this is the house where they all talk and fight, you know, and I'm in it.
Yeah.
While it's happening.
It's like, so it's like a voyeuristic moment, but then you're the one being watched now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you watch Summer House or do you
I don't. I've stayed away from Summer House. Mm. But now I'm hearing like people are into it. There's rumblings this season that people are like liking it.
I thought last season was great.
You loved last season.
I loved last season.
Okay.
The season, the first episodes, I'm like, okay. And now it's like, okay. It's just, it's kind of like a perfect denouement to Vanderpump Rules, you know, because Vanderpump Rules is so intense and so amazing. And then you sort of like go into like the light pettiness of Summer House.
Yeah.
And by the end of the episode, you sort of get wrapped up in something stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
And it like probably is good for like, yeah, the denouement, like a come down after you get all jacked up on that Vanderpump energy.
Yeah.
And
it's
you
like need the methadone to, like, clinic.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Maybe I'll check it out.
Try it. Give it and
I'll give
it
a shot
with it. Just know it might not be like an instant love.
Yeah.
Give it, I hate to be one of these people that says it, but give it like two or three episodes. You should sort of get into it. Your first feeling is going to be, these people are like boring and they're not doing anything. They're just like drinking and like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But let it like wash over you.
Yeah. I have to decant it.
Decant it.
Yeah.
Let it aerate.
Okay.
And just enjoy it.
But now I want to watch the episode that you're on.
I'll let you know.
Okay. You have to.
I don't know. I don't truly know when it's coming on, but just I'm like, using the timeline of the show, the show's very much like July 8th weekend, whatever. So I'm using the timeline there to be like, my weekend is coming up. Because I know what weekend I was there. So I'm like, it's exciting.
That's really exciting. I was screaming at Stassi in Kristen and Katie's fight.
Mm.
Like when Kristen is like, they're sitting outside. Wait, so the fight happened because the stripper... Stassi was just getting irritated that they were trying to get her to take a shot out of a stripper's ass.
Yeah, I think so. I think Stassi, first of all, was wasted during that scene. Because when, you know, they were getting the stripper, like they were talking with the stripper and the stripper's like all excited and everything.
And they're like, get Stassi. And someone kind of drags her in and she's like, her eyes are like unfocused.
She walked in like a mummy. She was like, boom, boom, boom. Like all her joints were, she was in her rigor mortis state.
She was in full rigor mortis.
Like her knees were not moving, her arms, she was like, oh, burr, burr, burr. I don't know. I hope people who listen can understand what that noise
is. Yeah, I think you got it. Yeah.
So she was already like in a non-rational place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, Stassi, come on, do a body shot. And she's like, no, she's not a prop, you know?
Yeah.
And then shit hit the fan.
But the stripper, I'm like weirdly obsessed with their obsession with the stripper from New Orleans. Like they just ran into her somewhere. Is she originally from LA? Like, the stripper seems to be like really excited to be there.
I was getting excited for a moment there because the stripper was getting a little bit too much time. Like at first it was like, oh, look, there's the stripper, which I thought was a callback.
Yeah.
And then they were talking to the stripper again and then having body shots. And I was like, did this stripper sleep with Patrick? Is this what we're getting to? Because this is going to be amazing.
Oh my God.
So I was
like, that's why she's freaking out is because the stripper had,
So I was getting excited for that, but it never really came to fruition.
No, it was just like, I'm like, where did they run into her? Like, I need a lot more intel of this, like, stripper's background.
What was her name again? like Leah or Olia or
maybe Aaliyah sounds right. I don't Celeste. Know. It really could be. And you could have said any name in it. And like, it's definitely that.
I'm pretty sure her name is Olia. Yeah.
I love to, like, they invited the stripper to just come to the party, like, as a guest. And then the stripper showed up to be a stripper.
Yeah. I think she came originally to be a guest and then was like, she just was like,
She read the room.
Yeah. She's like, I can take this party. I like this party needs help.
Yeah.
There's a small ranch fountain.
This is a weird cave, sparsely populated with both people and like random dead bodies.
Let me do some splits on the bar. Yeah. Let's just like up this a little bit. Yeah. You know?
Katie was so into it. She was also wasted too.
That was almost like the most like carefree I've seen Katie in like a few seasons. She was like having fun. She was being fun.
Yeah. She seemed very carefree.
It's amazing what can happen when you go like two seasons without having your boyfriend spill water on your head. You know?
Yeah.
It really opens you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Kristen goes, "You're being a fucking bitch." And Susie goes, "It's my birthday." I just love telling someone they're being a fucking bitch, like your best friend.
Yeah. And then just the catch-all, but it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm allowed to be.
They're also verbally abusive to each other.
Screaming at each other at this, like, faux back alley of sir. It was, like, back alley of non-sir. And I was like, no, sir. No, sir.
Yeah, no, sir. And, like, and I love, too, Kristen's, like, you know, I used to chase Stassi, but not anymore. And she has her moment of being like, fuck this, I'm not fucking chasing her. And Katie's just kind of like, what just happened? Like, still has yet to like comprehend and catch up to what's going on.
Yeah, Katie is like a little bit in an emotional riptide at the moment. And Kristen is having like faux growth, being like, there was a time when I chased after her. But like, I'm grown now and I'm dating Carter. And we like to watch turtles race. And like, I don't know, I'm gonna go back downstairs.
Yeah.
It's like her big stand.
Kristen's like, I need more booze.
I was a little disappointed because I wanted to find out what actually happened to Stassi. She just walked away and then it was
just ran off.
Then we're like, the dog festival.
Yeah.
And I was like, is she okay?
Yeah. Where did she go? Did she get in an Uber?
Because no one went after her.
No, and I love Kristen's like, well, her whole family's here. And none of them ran after her, so everyone knows not to do it. And it's like, so whenever your friend is just like blackout drunk, wasted, running down the street, everyone's just lets her go?
Yeah, they called her bluff.
Yeah.
And Stassi was like, fine, you're going to call my bluff? I'm going to call your bluff. I'm getting to an Uber right now.
Yeah.
Because obviously she does that because she and Patrick went like a whole vacation span. Of like
no speak.
No speak.
And I love to, one of their like fight tactics is just to put headphones in the middle of a fight. Did you catch that while they were getting ready?
No.
They were like talking about fighting with their boyfriends. And then Stassi was like saying she just put her headphones in the middle of the fight. And Chris was like, I love doing that. I just like put my headphones in. And I was like, these women are insane.
They are.
Cannot imagine dating one of them and trying to like rationalize, like have like a productive conversation, because they fucking would put their headphones in and
they
just stare at you and like turn the volume up really, really loud.
Yeah. And, like Reiki on tape.
Yeah. And like they have no fucks left to give when it comes to trying to like work things out with a loved one.
Yeah. I also don't understand Patrick's logic for when they're like, so you guys didn't talk for like a week. He's like, we went like 8 months without talking, so I think it's fine. I'm like, why is that like the high bar of like your survival techniques with Stassi? Like that should be like the shame. That,
yeah.
Like, oh God, I really fucked it up. I went 8 months and I almost lost her.
Yeah.
So now I know never to do that again.
But no, it's like, I'm going to block and like go to Amsterdam.
Yeah. Like I did it for 8 months, so like a week is fine. I still have like seriously 7 months and 3 weeks left I could do it for.
Yeah. But then also his like that weird thing where he was like, oh, she can like fuck other guys, but she can't date anyone, seemed especially sinister.
Yeah. And he's like, because I don't want her to develop the emotional connection. I'm like, well, what do you think is going to happen
psychotic.
When she fucks someone?
Yeah.
It's going to be emotional.
But I'm also like, that's like great, because I understand like I kind of understand what he's saying, but it's like that's even worse because you just actually want her to be unhappy.
I think it actually has less to do with her. I think it's more like he's giving himself a pass to do that.
Oh,
I think it's like his way of saying like, this, no, I'm saying, oh yeah, you can do that. And he's like, oh, and I'm gonna do it too. because
oh my God.
This way I can do it and see. No, no, but that's like the arrangement because it's
maybe they're trying to negotiate like open relationship or like non-monogamous relationship.
I feel like that's what he's working towards if it hasn't already happened.
Also, if you blocked someone and then we're in Amsterdam where it's like sex work is legal and rampant.
Like, and then you have a policy of that it's okay to fuck other people because it's not an emotional connection.
You got your dick sucked in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's just you're just like setting the groundwork to have an excuse to just get your dick sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. By Yolanda Hadid's cousin in Amsterdam.
By one of the models on Yolanda Hadid's new reality show.
Yeah, it's like Yolanda, what's it called? Like the Yolanda Hadid modeling agency or something.
It's like Yolanda's girls.
Yolanda.
Yolanda be a model.
Yo, Landa MTV raps now.
Monroe winning the beauty pageant at World Dog Day seems like a fix.
I questioned the authority of the judges and the authority of this beauty pageant, and it made me question the entire mission of World Dog Day.
Mm-hmm.
How can you build such an important event around such a rigged ceremony?
Yeah, exactly.
It was
my thoughts. Exactly.
A travesty.
Yeah, it was a travesty.
Because that dog just did not deserve to win any pageants. I'm sorry.
No,
I'll put it out right there.
No, I don't think I saw like a dog in like a little tuxedo that I thought really had more of a fighting chance.
Yeah,
but
there was the dog.
That should not be allowed to compete. No, sir, staffers or.
Yeah.
Cast members of the show should be allowed to enter the competition.
Exactly. I mean, Tom and Ariana had a dog and a papoose.
I loved that.
That should have, just the papoose alone.
Yeah.
It's a great accessory.
I love a dog red carpet.
Mm.
And Lisa continually gives me a dog red carpet. Like, yeah. There's been at least two dog red carpets in this season of Vanderpump Rules.
I'm sure they have one in Yulin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little more grim.
It's very grim.
Bring it back. Just want to make sure. I want to make sure Yulin gets really pulled highly this time in the.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, hello, darkness. You guys. It's a 10. I'm like, make no mistake. Like, I'm not going to put like pictures of a skin dog in a cage on the pole because I want to soothe everyone and make them lol. But Yulin is a 10. There's a life hack for that.
Yeah.
Katie paid. Oh, wait. She reveals that she paid $1,400 because Stassi ran off into the night.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
For the bar tab or whatever?
Yeah. Maybe it was like a, maybe that part of that went to the diminutive ranch fountain rental.
Yeah. Returning the mini ranch fountain.
Yeah. Maybe there was like a damage to the system and she had to like pay the security deposit.
They're like, we're holding this $500 security deposit for this like, 1999 ranch fountain.
From like fondues and more.
Yeah. Well, that's really it.
So much. I feel almost terrible that we talked so much about everything and that like Sheena and Lala were barely a blip in the episode. It's like,
I know.
It's not fair.
I know. They weren't really like featured so much.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to James and Lala's like weird reckoning.
Thing.
Whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about Lisa talking to Brittany and being like, well, Jax hasn't even texted me. I can't believe it.
No, that's weird.
Beneath her.
Lisa putting herself in a situation where it's like she has drama with the cast members of Vanderpump Rules is really rubbing me the wrong way this season.
I agree. And I think it's weird that she's like,
it feels inauthentic
for a text from Jax.
Yeah. Like, it's off brand for her because she's the boss. So like, there should not be like that level of an emotional connection to the situation. And then it seems like she just wants more like camera time or something or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what would have been sort of secretly kind of hot.
Who
would have been, if like Lisa, this whole thing like really bothered Lisa. And she, let's say, I wish her reaction was that she just like shut down and was really quiet. And I wish what would have been hot. Would have been if like somehow this like triggered something in Peter and he's like, listen, you fucking asshole. I've stood by everything. You are a piece of shit. This is Lisa Vanderpump. You get your act. Like he like went in on
Jax.
That probably would have been like oddly like very hot.
Oh
like,
my God. Yes.
Right?
Peter needs to step up to the plate.
Like he just gets enraged. Like he's like, he's so easygoing. He's so nice, but like you want.
He's not going to take it anymore.
You don't cross Lisa Vanderpump, and like he steps up, and he's like, "No, I'm the manager here. You're the bartender. You don't do that." You know, like he's yeah. like it possesses him, and like the way he like him standing up for Lisa,
mm-hmm.
and like knowing how far he had to been pushed to feel that way.
Yeah.
That would have been so hot.
That would have been major. Also, like, where's Ken in this situation? I feel like Ken always has Lisa's back, but then was weirdly absent, now that I think about it, at the Beverly Hills yeah. lifestyle party when Jax was being such an asshole.
He's probably napping somewhere with a puppy inside his shirt.
He, like, fell asleep standing up. Someone just, like, leaned him against the wall, and they were like, he needs his little nap time.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, part of the great thing about Lisa fighting with any of the cast members is that eventually Ken limps over yes. and then, like, says a thing or two.
He like, dodders into action.
Threatens them.
I'll knock your Spock out. Spock out.
And then, like, shuffles away. But that's, like, we got robbed of that.
Yeah.
So, hopefully in the season or in whatever episode Jax, like, punches a payphone. So much phone violence.
Yeah, so much. Especially Rules. Not a payphone. They already have enough to deal with.
Yeah.
Being phased out and such.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
But hopefully Ken will make an appearance there.
Yeah, I want
to put Jax in his place.
I would like, we need to have
more
a
Ken.
Ceremonial Ken outrage moment.
Yeah.
And then again, I aspire for Peter to get like angry and hot. Like
Peter's like, no. No, it's not okay.
It's, you know what? I'm sick of this. I've been doing this for 10 years. Like my phone just fell out of my pocket. My phone's like, yes. My phone just thumped out onto the floor. Peter's like, you know what? I stood by. I've smiled. I've invited you on my bros trips. I've endured everything. I cut my hair for you, man. You said it would look good. I cut my hair for you, man.
You said it
and
would
I
look
smiled.
Good.
This Beverly Hills Lifestyle magazine, it's not even about that. It's about Lisa. It's about Max. It's about Pandy.
They're at the bar.
They're working.
Do you see them? Look around the corner. That's them at the bar.
Do you see them with a bar kit right now? No, because they were told they're just supposed to muddle. They weren't even told that. It's not even their job. I'm sick of it, Jax. That's what I want Peter to do.
Yeah. We need an angry Peter moment.
Yeah. And by the way, he's not going to get his movie financed until he shows that he can be a real director. And yeah. that's how he does it.
Yeah. True.
Right.
Touche.
What was the name of the movie? Like Raven something? Dark Raven?
I can't remember.
Something.
He did another movie that he said was like his avatar.
I look forward to seeing it at the Burbank Film Festival, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Held at the AMC theaters.
The Sir Film Festival, where they just like project it onto a wall.
It's like Peter's film, and then we have a short from DJ James Kennedy where it's a music video where he's getting paint splashed on him.
Music video releases, Kristen's reel, Lala's film, Pitching Love.
Pitching is like
Catching Faith, yeah.
Have you seen that? Can
no,
we watch that?
We need to watch that.
Is it available?
It's available. Oh, it's available. I think you can watch it. I think we'd rent it on iTunes.
Can we, let's please
we need to
have
do
a
that.
Viewing of
yeah.
Pitching Love, Catching Faith?
Yeah.
Which has a whole different meaning in this season.
I know. It's like
Catching Faith. Pitching Love and Catching Faith.
Yeah. We got to watch that ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you for having me on. I hope I did not just like make all your listeners run for the hills with the Yulin stuff.
No, and, like, I live and laugh and love a Yulin moment, but I don't love Yulin.
Do not wait to
the official stance.
Official stance.
Of both Watch What Crabbins and Sex Unique podcast is that we neither love nor like the Yulin Dog
yes,
Meat Festival.
But we support Alanis Morissette parody songs mm-hmm. that are sort of nebulous. The songs can parody both Yulin and Yulin activists.
Yeah.
And we also support a rom-com between a Yulin activist and a young West Hollywood ingenue
mm-hmm.
who's trying to save the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like just more Yulin content in general. Yeah. I'm open to
Pitching Yulin, Catching Dogs.
Starring Lauren Kent.
Lauren Kent. Wait, is that how she goes by in it?
Yeah. Lauren Kent. LAURYN.
Oh. I'm glad that she spells Kent like K-E-N-T instead of K-Y-N-T.
Oh, yeah.
That would be terrible.
That would be too much.
Yeah.
Too much E.
Well, there was someone on The Amazing Race once named Kent.
Oh, Vixen, really?
And Kent spelled his name K-Y-N-T. And I...
That's Kent.
Kent, yeah, but he's pronounced it Kent. And then I saw him at a roast beef shop here in L.A.
A roast beef shop?
Well... Top like, Round, have you ever been to it?
Oh, no, but yeah.
It's fabulous. Okay. But he was there, and I'm fairly convinced he was high on meth. He was crazy, and he was like laughing at ketchup packets. I was like, oh, what has happened to Kent? What has happened to Kent?
Nothing good.
Nothing good. Yulin. He went to Yulin and came back a damaged
man.
Pitching
meth, catching Kent.
Someone catch Kent, please.
The roast beef shop.
At the roast beef.
I just thought of a Yulin twist.
Oh, yes.
That involves a roast beef shop.
Oh, no.
It just, I don't even know. I'm just saying that there could
it
be.
Could be a,
it could be a reveal.
A nefarious.
Yeah.
Hitchcockian moment.
Yeah.
It's like Get Out of Yulin.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's like Lisa Vanderpump has a teacup and she's swirling the teaspoon in it. She's like, what are your thoughts on Yulin? That's how she's getting her.
She should just start actually like flying because like everyone loves like a fly out journey. So like she should fly like the organizers of the Yulin Dog Meat Festival out and then invite them to stay at Villa Rosa and then get out them.
Get out. Oh my gosh. You should totally get out them.
She'll get out them.
Who she put inside
them. She loves
them.
Tea. So she could have Rocia make some tea.
Yeah.
Then she gets out them.
And then they go into the, what's it called? The fallen place? The empty place?
The sunken place. The
sunken place, which is also what Sir is.
Yeah.
Sir
and then
is.
They're, yeah. And then they just work at Sir and just, are on the show.
Wait, so are you implying that the waiters at Sir
are
people who've been get outed from Yulin? That's
yes!
How she's taking Yulin organizers and putting them into Sir.
Yes.
Wow. It makes absolute sense.
Oh my god,
sense.
That makes total sense. That's
and like
what
all of a sudden
that's what Gigi is.
Oh my god. And you know what? Anthony is the one who got out. Whoa.
Whoa. On that note.
Wow, blowing my mind.
Yeah. I think that's enough. You
that's
know?
Enough.
I think that enough said.
I mean, you can't top it. My stomach is starting to do weird noises.
Where I'm like nervous that Lisa's going to like show up here because we just cracked the Yulin code.
It's going to happen.
So we have to go into hiding.
Yeah.
All good right. Luck. Good night and good luck.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of the Sexy Unique podcast is brought to you by the following premium sponsors, Lori Wheat, Meredith Good, and William Jones. Thanks to you guys, it's all happening.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.